This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. And my respect to sisters in Islam and to all the brothers and sisters online, assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon what they listen and hear, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your sacrifice. And alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful gathering that we get together for the sake of Allah, to learn more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen of Allah azza wa jal, and to have a better understanding on how can we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, upon me, and upon us all, that we get together to learn more about the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man yuridillahu bi khayra yufaqihu fi din." Whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do to them? Allah will increase their knowledge in Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in a position for you to increase your knowledge of Islam, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase his goodness upon you. What goodness does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase upon you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you happiness, success in this dunya, happiness and success in the hereafter, in the paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us to be from amongst those who enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the company and the companionship of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And obviously we want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his way. We want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his way. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased from us. In order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased from us, you must worship Allah his way, not your way, not the way you think of it, not the way you perceive it. And this is one of the biggest challenges that we encounter, that we want to please Allah our way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in my heart. I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to please him. But I please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala my way. Sorry. Not your way, not my way, not his way, not even Muhammad's way. It's Allah's way through Muhammad. It's Allah's way through Muhammad. With all the love, respect and honor to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even Muhammad doesn't even have the right to make up his own way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals it to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveys it, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam passes on to us, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. Muhammad doesn't say anything from his own. It is only a revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his way through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Islam came to perfect your life, to complete your life. It's not just, okay, worship Allah, pray to Allah, fast, pay zakat, go to hajj, and it stops over here. No, 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 that's only a small part of Islam. But Islam is a big, massive teachings and guidance in all aspects of life, in everything that you do in life. So Islam is about your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with mankind, your relationship with the environment, your relationship with the animals, your relationship on the face of this earth and to the land, your relationship to everything and everyone, your relationship to everyone and everything. So it's about your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your relationship with yourself, and your relationship with others. And when we talk about others, you've got the closer ones, then the ones after them, then the ones after them, then the strange ones, then the distant ones, then the far away from, or the far away ones, and then you've got the enemies, and then they've got this. So you've got a different category of people that you deal with. And obviously, the most important category that you need to deal with are your kings. Start off with mom, dad, then children and spouses, husband, wife. That's a very important component that the Islam or the religion of Islam focuses on, the family component. And in order for you to have a family, there's got to be something called marriage. And marriage between what? Man and woman. Him and she. Which, unfortunately to say, it is a challenge these days to change that mindset. But Islam came with the natural default of understanding of mankind, and that is that marriage is between man and a woman. And children come from a man and a woman. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. And that's why Islam honored the concept and the principle of marriage. And I want everyone to pay attention to this one. When you talk about marriage in general, to all people out there, Muslims and non-Muslims, believers in God and non-believers in God, a lot of people perceive marriage as a customary action. Just a normal human being action. Custom, that's it. She loves him, he loves her, they want to get married, move on. They want to establish a family. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's normal. That's normal. And that's the norm that Islam came to, and Islam saw that marriage as a notion, marriage as a concept, was just a natural default human act, human customary act. But then Islam came, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Quran, and Islam elevated marriage. Islam elevated marriage from being a customary practice into a form of worship. Yes, marriage in Islam is a ritual, not a customary practice. To others, it's a customary practice. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. That's the standard. But then Islam put the standard higher and made marriage in Islam to be a ritual, ibadah, worship. You worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through marriage. So when he and she get married, that's a form of worship, ibadah, ritual. Now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and listen to this hadith, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when someone gets married, they had completed half the religion. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second half. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not even say that about someone who prays or fasts or pays zakat or got a hajj. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did say that about marriage, that those that get married had completed half their religion. When you get married, they had completed half your religion. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second half. So Islam did elevate the stand of marriage into ritual and a form of worship. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the marriage contract, because it's a contract. And when we say a contract, an agreement between two parties, the bride and the bridegroom, you've got two parties, the bride and the bridegroom, they're agreeing on something called marriage. So Islam refers to it as a marriage contract. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this contract, mithaqan ghaliza. Mithaqan ghaliza. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the marriage contract as a firm, strong contract. No contract that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had referred to as mithaqan ghaliza, as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did say about the marriage contract. So when husband and wife, when the bride and the bridegroom get married and agree, this is a very affirmative, strict, serious contract. Ghaliza. The word ghaliza in Arabic means an affirmative, confirmed, strict, straight to the point contract. And subhanAllah, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored marriage, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated the concept of marriage into becoming a form of worship and ritual. And subhanAllah, this is the norm. This is the norm where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam and Hawa from the very beginning. And we all know the famous story of Adam alayhi salam when he was in the Jannah. And we're talking about the paradise. What's the paradise? مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ لَا eyes had ever seen. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ لَا ears had ever heard of. And not even a mind can even contemplate. You know, you sit down and you start thinking about the most beautiful scene in your life, the most beautiful palace, the most beautiful this and the most beautiful that. And you know, you dream. And you know, it doesn't exist. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made exist in the Jannah is beyond what you could even imagine. Beyond what you could even imagine. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَمَوْضِعُ صَوْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. For you to place a stick on the ground or on the floor in the Jannah That area that the stick had occupied in the Jannah is greater than this whole world. Subhanallah, this is the Jannah. Adam alayhi salam was in the Jannah. Luckily, subhanallah, what a dream. Adam alayhi salam was in the Jannah. But his happiness in the Jannah was not complete. Why? He was lonely. He was by himself. All this beauty and all this entertainment and all this fun and all this and all that. But he was unhappy. He was lonely. So one day, while Adam alayhi salam is walking in the Jannah, enjoying the beautiful scene of the Jannah and the gardens of the Jannah, but there's something missing there. It's incomplete. You know, when you have everything, but there's something missing. You could have everything, but there's something missing. It's incomplete. You could have the fun, but there's no reception. You know what? At the end of the day, there's only much you could do with it. So his happiness was incomplete. So one day, he went and slept under a tree. After he slept under the tree, he woke up and he saw a new being next to him, similar to him with different resemblance. And that was who? Hawa. So he told her, who are you? She said, I am Hawa. And he told her, why are you called Hawa? She said, because I'm created from something hay. What's hay in Arabic? Alive. Alive. I was created from something alive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hawa from one of the ribs of Adam alayhi salam. Okay. I know it sounds a nice romantic story. Okay. But yet to come. Or more to come. So Adam alayhi salam wakes up and he sees Hawa. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completes, and this is the point I want to get to, completes that missing part of Adam's happiness by having another person with him, and that other person was Hawa. Okay? And that's why in Arabic when you call or you refer to mankind or human beings, we say insan. Insan. Typical Arabs will say he's called insan because of nasyan. No. Nasyan, he had forgotten. He's called insan because of uns. And uns in Arabic means socializing. Socializing. We are beings, human beings. We like to socialize. So as much as you might have and everything that you might have and everything that you do, at the end of the day, you need someone with you. Adam alayhi salam was unhappy with everything that he had because there was no other human being for him to socialize with. And I know the topic socialize right now in COVID is a very sensitive topic. But alhamdulillah, this is what we understand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the happiness of Adam by having a spouse. That spouse was Hawa alayhi salam. And both of them were the first married couple to ever emerge on the face of this earth. Adam and Hawa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Adam alayhi salam with children, and Hawa would have, and she'll fall pregnant. Every time she falls pregnant with twins. And then one twin boy from one tummy, one pregnancy will get married to a twin girl from a different pregnancy. And that's how this world emerged. It was allowed during the time of Adam, but now you can't. You know, you can't. Brothers and sisters can't get married to each other. But it was allowed for Adam alayhi salam and Hawa at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated the principle and the concept and the practice of marriage, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it to be honorable. So marriage to me as a Muslim is not just a practice. Wallah, he loves her and she loves him, or they love each other, want to get married because they want to establish a family. Yes, that's good. But at the same time, we want to get married because we want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it pleases Allah azza wa jal. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy from it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased from it. And this is a notion that we need to start changing, a perception that we need to start changing, that marriage in Islam is not a practice. It's a religious practice, a ritual, ibadah, worship. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he used to hear of any companion, he says, you know what, I don't want to get married. I don't want to put the time and effort into marriage. I'd rather put the time and effort that I'll invest into marriage and children. I'll put it for the da'wah. Put it for reading the Quran al-Kareem. Put it into coming to the mosque. You know, some people have that mindset. Some people say, I don't want to go and work. I'd rather put the 8 hours that I put for work and go and put it for the da'wah, for example. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he used to hear that, he used to summon this companion, say to him, what's this thought that I'm hearing that you don't want to get married? Didn't you know that marriage is part of Islam? And when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about a group of companions, one of them said, I want to fast every single day. The other one said, I want to pray all night. The other one said, I don't want to get married to a woman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and about me, I fast some days and I don't fast other days. I pray the night and I sleep some of the night. And I get married to women. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. And whoever doesn't want to follow my sunnah is not from me. My sunnah, this is the path that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the path that we're getting close to Allah azza wa jal. Having said that, and now we understand the Islamic ruling of marriage, which is highly recommended. And I say it, highly recommended, not obligatory. So the Islamic ruling of marriage is, it's not obligatory. It's not like you have to go and get married. And if you don't get married, you're going to find yourself in Jahannam or Bais al-Masir. You're going to find yourself in the hellfire. No, no, no. Islamically, getting married is highly recommended. It can be fard. It can be fard. If this person finds himself is going to fall in the haram, it can be fard on him. But in general, marriage in Islam and getting married is highly recommended. Which means, if someone doesn't get married, if someone does not get married, they are not committing a sin. So it's highly recommended and Islam has elevated to be a form of ibadah. Having said that, it's your choice, your option for you to get married. And it's your choice for you to get married to whoever you want. No one can force you to get married to someone that you don't want to get married to. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us through Islam how to live a happy life, how to live a comfortable life in all aspects of life, including your marital life. Because at the end of the day, that's part of your journey. You live a single life, then you get married, then you continue your life married. This is part of the journey that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created us, and this part of the journey that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made easy for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had also shown us the way, how can you live a happy life in all aspects of life, including your marital life. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands in the Quran al-Kareem, especially for men, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. You must be, it's not up to you as a husband. It's not up to you, it's not a choice for life. A choice for you to be good and nice to your wife. No, 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 no. It's not a choice. Allah commands that you must be respectful, gentle, and honorable to your wife. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already shown the way, how can husband and wife, married couple, live a happy marital life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. However, we are human beings. We are human beings. And we are human beings because we change. We're moody. Allah created us this way. And don't look at yourself, oh Allah, that's bad. No, no, we're all like this. All of us like this. We have emotions. We're happy, unhappy. We love, we hate. Sometimes we ever exaggerate in our love. Sometimes we ever exaggerate in our hate. Sometimes we sleep. Sometimes I see things. Sometimes I start thinking, Allah, you know what? This is the wrong choice. Or sometimes I go through a predicament in my marital life. He's bad to me. She's bad to me. He's not fulfilling his right. She's not fulfilling her right. Sometimes it's emotion. Sometimes it's a tangible thing. Sometimes he did the wrong thing. So Islam did not make marriage as a locked-in contract for the rest of your life. It's not a locked-in contract. It's not a locked-in contract. Other religions have it as a locked-in contract. You get married, it's marriage for life. That's it, you're stuck. And that's why some of them don't want to get married. They'll live together. They live together, share everything together, even have children together. But no marriage, please. I don't want to be locked in. Some religions have that. I'm not talking about other religions, but I'm talking about Islam. Islam does not have a locked-in contract for life when it comes to marriage. Islam wants you to get married. And this is a very important point. Islam wants you to get married with the intention of life. And it's haram. It's haram for someone to get married to someone with the intention of a temporary marriage. That's haram. Even if you don't show it. Even if you don't show it. He's getting married to her because he just wants to be with her just to, whatever reason it is. Whatever reason, for 1 year, 2 years. That's haram in Islam. Even if this person doesn't show it, even I'll keep it to myself. No one knows about it. Deep inside, I'm committing a sin. The marriage contract is valid if it does go through the conditions and the regulations of marriage, going through all the other things, but the intention must be from both parties, both bride and groom, the husband or wife, their intention of officiating this marriage must be, I want to get married to her, I want to get married to him for life. And as I mentioned, it's haram to have an intention, we'll trial it out. It doesn't work like this in the Sharia. No. People's honor and people's chastity and people's respect is not something that you could trial out. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to marriage? Mithaqan ghaliza. A firm, strict, serious contract. So it's either you're in it for life or not. But there's no lock-in contract again. Your intention must be that. But subhanAllah, along the way, some waves, some predicaments, some people slip. You don't know what happens. No one can guarantee anyone. But when someone gets married to someone, they must get married to them with the intention of a life commitment for the rest of the life. Which brings us to the main topic that I want to be talking about today, which is talaq. Talaq, divorce in Islam, the Islamic perspective of talaq. What does Islam see talaq? We're speaking about what Islam sees marriage to be. An affirmative, serious contract between husband and wife. And the intention of marriage must be for life, for the rest of your life. But Islam had given that exit. Islam had given the exit point. If things don't go according to plan, if things don't work out 100%, if there are serious issues in this marriage, well, both husband and wife can walk out of this marriage. You can't. Otherwise, it's considered to be torture. Maybe she doesn't want him. Maybe he doesn't want her. Maybe she's seen something from him that she believes is wrong, or he did something wrong. Or maybe he saw something from her that he believes is wrong, or he saw something that it's wrong. So Islam looks at talaq as an exit. Not recommended. Marriage is highly recommended. Talaq is not recommended at all. But it is a tool to be used for husband and wife to break off this marriage. And sometimes you have to. Sometimes it's obligatory for divorce. Yes, divorce can be obligatory. Like as we mentioned, the general ruling of marriage is highly recommended. General ruling of divorce is disliked. But as this general ruling of marriage can become sometimes fard, obligatory, divorce can also be fard in some circumstances, in some situations. Divorce can be also fard, obligatory, where husband and wife need to go their own ways. It can be, depending on the situation. We are talking about life in general. So you're talking about different forms, different ways, different mentalities, different situations. It's not a straightforward thing where Salat al-Dhuhr is 4 rak'at and you start with Allahu Akbar and Taslim. No. You're talking about husband and wife, different things that happen in their lives, different situations, different circumstances, different issues. It goes case by case. And that's why the Sharia is very flexible. That's why it didn't lock it in. It did not lock it in. And subhanAllah, look at the balance, the moderation of the Sharia. You must get married with the intention of life, but if things don't work out, there's an exit. You can't come out of it. The Sharia had given you that leeway for you to come out of it. Even though it's not recommended. And that's why marriage is a big commitment. It's not a small commitment. It's not like buying a car or buying a phone that you don't like. You're talking about serious commitment here. You're talking about people's chastity, children, financial commitment, life commitment. And that's why the Sharia wants people to understand this commitment before they get themselves into marriage. You need to understand this responsibility. Unfortunately, we live in a day and age, and I'm talking about the Muslim community here. I'm not talking about anyone else. We live in a day and age where people are not even taking responsibility of marriage. The guy wants to get married and live a marital life, but continues to live his single life. How does that work? Like, how does it work? And I see that. And subhanAllah, I've been now forced to say that in my sermons when I attend and when I do marriage contracts. I've been saying that. Don't think that you're going to get into a marital life and continue to live your single life where you continue to hang out with your friends however you want, whenever you want, do whatever you want. It doesn't work that way. Marriage is a commitment. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to it as a serious commitment. Serious commitment, more serious than anything else. But as I mentioned, the Sharia had given that leeway. If him and her, husband and wife, don't get along, they don't like each other anymore. They don't love each other anymore, because marriage is about emotions too. There are issues in this marriage. He's got problems, she's got problems. They can't proceed anymore. Maybe the problem is out of their hands. Maybe he got locked up, for example. It's unfair to keep her, locked in this marriage. If she wants to continue with her marriage, if the guy is locked up for 20, 30 years. Options. We call them options. Not obligatory. Like, for example, okay, her husband got locked up for 10, 15 years or 20 years. And I've had those cases in the past. And she wants to get divorced. She doesn't have to get divorced. She could stay with him. She loves him so much. She's committed to him. Mabruk, you know what? I respect your loyalty. But there's an option. And I emphasize on the word option, which means you could take this option. You don't have to take it. Don't get me wrong. Don't walk out of here and say, well, no, you've got one of your friends. The husband is locked up for the next 5 years. You know, Sheikh Shad said, you know what? He should be getting divorced. No, I didn't say he should be getting divorced. I'm saying there's an option. If you want to take this option, you take it. You want to leave it, you leave it. But the Sharia had given you the option. Sometimes a situation where the husband is gone, no one knows where he's gone. And I've had that case. He's disappeared. I don't know where he is. It's option. You want to stay. You want to stay married to him, then you are considered to be married to him. But the Sharia had given you the option for you to abrogate or terminate this marriage contract and for you to move on in your life. So divorce is an option. It can be obligatory in some cases. It can be. It can be obligatory in some cases. And some of those cases, if this guy is violent, okay, and he doesn't learn from his lessons, well, you know what, I'll see, she should leave him. No one is allowed to lay a hand on anyone. So it can be obligatory, but in general, it's an option. Divorce is an option. Some sisters are going through a hard time with their husband, but they look at the bigger picture. What's the bigger picture? I want to keep the family together. I'd rather have my kids having a father figure in their life than having no father figure. Some sisters look at it that way. Others look at it, no, him being a father figure in my children's life is a bigger issue. It goes back case by case. It's not a straightforward thing. It goes case, but the Sharia had given something called termination of marriage. What we call that? Talaq. Talaq. The Sharia had given that termination. When do you resort to talaq? When everything has been exerted. You've exhausted all options. You tried this and that. And sometimes, that's, again, it goes case by case. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had issued talaq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given talaq to Muslim female companions just because she doesn't love him. That's it. You can't force someone to stay with someone. It's counterproductive. She doesn't like him. She doesn't like him. He's a good man. A woman came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, O Messenger of Allah, I'm married to this man. I'm married to this man. And wallah, I've got nothing to fault him on. I've got nothing to say bad about him. But there's no connection. There's no connection. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no problem. How much did he give you mahir? He gave me this. Give him back his mahir because he made that commitment. Give him back his mahir and move on. Because at the end of the day, he made the commitment. It's unfair for him also to lose. If he wants to stay with you, you don't want to stay with him and he's paid for something, compensate him and walk away from this marriage. And that's what we call khula. But the point is, and I know this is technical, so don't take it just, you know, on face value. It's too technical, it's got breakdown of it. But the point is that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given the leeway for some Muslim female companions for them to be divorced because there's no connection. There's no emotion. There's no connection or emotion. Why? Because the Sharia will not force someone to stay with someone else if they don't want to be with them. However, and I say this sometimes with reluctance. Why? Because the lack of responsibility amongst both brothers and sisters and this reluctance and complacency where we just want everything to be easy, the moment he gets upset, he wants to walk away. And the moment she gets upset, she goes to her parents' house, I don't want him anymore. Over what? Wallah, he didn't walk in today with flowers. SubhanAllah, now you want to terminate the entire marriage contract over this? Oh, Wallah, he doesn't tell me love you 100 times. He only says it to me 50 times. We're talking about lack of responsibility. And SubhanAllah, lack of responsibility across the board. Not only when it comes to marriage. We're talking about a new generation where there is lack of responsibility in everything. Like the other day, I was talking to one of the brothers who's got a business. And he tells him, SubhanAllah, They're 16, 17 years old, apprentices. They come, you tell them coming at 7 o'clock, they come here at 9 o'clock in the morning. Where were you? We're like, I slept in. Now you have to come here at 7 o'clock, the next day it doesn't come at all. No responsibility. Too relaxed. What makes, because there's no responsibility, also makes these people's commitment also have lack of responsibility. So don't get too comfortable. Oh, every time Allah hears something from him, straight away I'm going to walk away from the house. This is marriage. It's a struggle. There's no such thing called Allah 100% happy marriage between husband and wife. No. Sometimes there's hiccups, there's waves. You know, sometimes you go through situations or you go through times in life where it's a bit difficult. You need to overcome that situation. Not every time Allah something happens. Or he comes back from work, he's angry, and because you see him angry, they're walking with a big smile, you walk away. No, there's got to be some responsibility here. Marriage is a form of struggle too. Struggle, understanding, give and take. SubhanAllah, one of the main advice I always give to newly married couple is, the first and second year of marriage, are the toughest years. You've got two minds that are trying to merge. It's going to take time to merge. You need to understand each other. She needs to understand him. She needs to understand him. He needs to understand her. Both of them need to understand one another. And therefore, it takes time for those two mindsets to merge. Give it time. Give it understanding. You know, you're talking about the same household. SubhanAllah, your mom and dad, sometimes the other ones who brought you up and the other ones who raised you. And sometimes you clash with them. This is mom and dad. You clash with them. And we're talking about mom and dad here. We're not talking about anyone else. So when it comes to someone who's a stranger in your life and they became your husband, or she's a stranger and now she became your wife, there's got to be some time to understand each other, give and take. But subhanAllah, sometimes you reach to this point where it becomes a sticking point. You try and reconcile, it doesn't work. And that's why the Sharia looks at divorce, not as a taboo, no, as a solution, but last resort solution, not first resort. See, the problem that we've got these days, straight away divorce. Straight away, that's it. No, I didn't like what he said. Divorce. I didn't like the gift that he gave me. Divorce. I didn't like what he did the other day. Divorce. No. Divorce is a solution. Yes, I'm telling you, it is a solution. And sometimes I've told couple, your solution is both of you to divorce. Both of you to divorce. I told them, it's not going to work. It is a solution. But last resort, not first resort. The problem that we have is that we look at divorce as number one solution. Number one resort. No. Islam looks at divorce as a last resort. Last thing. You resort to divorce. So what's the first thing? Work it out. Work it out. You as husband and wife, as couple, work it out amongst each other. That's the number one solution. Husband and wife must work it out between each other. If it doesn't work out between them two, give it time between one another. Even if you separate at home, not while she goes home or he goes at home, just give each other some time. It could be 10 minutes, could be 10 hours. If it doesn't work, involve outsiders. When we say outsiders, outsiders from the house. You bring his family, her family, and I'm sorry to say these days, not all the time you get the most wisest people. So go to someone, a sheikh, imam, friend, someone that can come and reconcile between the two. If it doesn't work, then that's when you resort to an option called divorce. So divorce in the Sharia, divorce in Islam is a solution. And it's an option, but last resort. And this is something that we need to always keep in mind. You need to avoid divorce. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will not be pleased from someone that asks for divorce. That does not contradict what I said. It is a solution and a last resort. But for someone that goes and asks for divorce when you could fix the situation, when you can't resolve the situation, it's haram for you to go and ask for divorce. If the matter is something little, resolve it. You're not going to get married to someone that's going to be 100%. You have faults, he has faults, she has faults. You need to resolve, you need to work it out. Islam wants you to work it out because at the end of the day, marriage is about working it out. It's a journey. And along the journey, when you travel, you're going to go through some bumps. You're going to go through some hardships, you're going to go through some waves, you're going to go through some things that you don't like, you're going to go through some exhaustion, tiredness, you're going to go through some of those things. You can't expect to embark on a journey of marriage and everything's going to be smooth sailing. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't exist. Not even with the Prophet. Not even with the Prophet. Did you know that the Prophet Muhammad divorced?
Did you know that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam divorced most of his wife's ones? In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi even divorced a woman completely. That's the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be an example on that one. That divorce does exist. It's a bumpy road. It's not, wallah, a straightforward walk in the park marriage. No. You go through hardships. You're going to go through bumps. You're going to go through hardships. You're going to go through some obstacles. You're going to go through some hurdles. Your responsibility is to work it out. That's your number one response. Work it out. And you need to put the time and effort into working out. When it doesn't work out and there's no solution to you working it out, then you resort to a mediator to help. If it doesn't work, then you resort to divorce. And I want to give you an advice. I know most of you are married women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your family, and bless your marriage. If you can't resolve your issues, I'll tell you 99% of times no one else can resolve it. It's your own issue. If you can't resolve it, no one else is going to resolve it for you. Then expect Allah. Let's go to the sheikh. And what's the sheikh going to do? If you can't resolve your own issues, no one can resolve it for you. That's a reality. But sometimes you might need a bit of an inspiration, motivation, counseling in one way or another. But always keep in mind, the one that can really resolve the issues is you. You have an issue between you and your husband. You are the only two people that can resolve this issue. No one else can resolve it. And if you can't resolve it, it's going to be a bigger struggle for you to get an outsider for them to come and resolve it. It's like if you can't keep your own secret. I've got a secret and I can't keep it with myself. You think my friends are going to keep it from me? It's my own secret. I couldn't even keep it to myself. If my chest is too tight for it, you think other people's chest is big enough for it? If you can't keep your own secret, other people can't keep it for you. It's your own secret. You can't even keep it. You think he cares to keep your secret? And then sometimes we need to look at the bigger picture. We can't be just always emotional about things this and that. Oh, yalla, call the sheikh. The sheikh is going to resolve it. No, the sheikh is not going to resolve for you. I'm telling the sheikh. The sheikh can give you a bit of a motivation, a band-aid solution. But at the end of the day, if you as husband or wife can't resolve your issues, it's going to be a big struggle for anyone else to resolve for you. So Islam looks at talaq, which is divorce, as a last resort, an option that's always there. No one can take away from you. Even though Islamically the man has the right to divorce directly and the woman has the right to divorce indirectly. She needs to go through the sheikh or she needs to go through an imam. That's how Islam looks at it. Why? Because of the emotions. So she can get divorced. No one is stopping her. But indirectly she's got to go through an imam or a sheikh for her to get the divorce. That's how it is Islamically. The man can pursue with the divorce straight away, and a woman can pursue with a divorce, but she's got to go through the imam or the qadi or someone that can represent her. However, no one can force her to stay in a marriage that she doesn't want to be part of. No one can force him to stay in a marriage that he can't be part of. And subhanAllah, sometimes you get some cases which are appalling, very disappointing, where the brother doesn't want her, he's a husband, doesn't want her, and he thinks, I've just got the divorce in here. I don't want her, but at the same time, I'm not going to divorce her. Do you think the Sharia is going to accept something like that? Oh, but I'm allowed to divorce. Yes, but she's also allowed to get khula. And she'll get it, don't worry. And we say that openly. If she doesn't want to stay with me, she's not going to stay with you. We don't encourage, we always encourage people to stay together. That's what it's about. Stay together as much as you can. Because, you know, even if you're going to move on from this marriage to our next marriage, that process is not an easy process either. And the Sharia always looks at divorce as a last resort. That's why we call it talaq. What's talaq? Freedom. Freedom from what? You are stuck in a contract, now you freed yourself. That's what talaq. Talaq means free. Where you had a commitment in marriage, and now in Arabic, talaq means divorce, that now you're no longer committed to this commitment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the divorce in the Quran al-Kareem. At-talaqu marratan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did mention the word talaq, divorce in the Quran al-Kareem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا جناح عليكم إن طلقتم النساء ما لم تمسوهن وتفرضوا علينا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, another verse about divorcing women and giving the guidelines of divorcing women. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also talks to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about divorce once again. So divorce does exist in the Sharia. And it did exist before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Arabs used to divorce. And they used to divorce the way we divorce these days. where a husband will say to his wife, you are divorced, but no restrictions. In which way? Before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with Islam, the Arabs used to divorce. A husband will divorce his wife. However, no limitation, he'll divorce 100 times. Sharia came and limited it to 3 times only. You only have 3 options. To put that pressure on the husband, don't play around with this commitment. That's why the Sharia restricted it to 3 divorces. Where before Islam, the Arabs used to divorce in the hundreds. One man came to the Prophet Muhammad and said to him, I divorced my wife 1,000 times. So the Prophet Muhammad said, 3 from Allah and 997 on you. And that's another indication the Prophet Muhammad had alluded to, oppression. What's this? You can't just divorce someone whenever you want, divorce whenever you want, bring. That's a torture, 1,000 times. And they used to divorce as many times as the one and say as many times as the one. So the Sharia said, no. As a man, you only have 3 divorces. The first one, it's called a revocable divorce. The second one is called a revocable divorce. The third one is called an irrevocable divorce. You divorce the first time out of anger, out of emotions. Okay, the Sharia gives you that leeway for you to bring her back. The second time, yes. The third time, that's it. Don't muck around with people like this. And stop torturing your wife and think, wallahi, whenever you feel like it, you are divorced. Whenever you don't feel like it, come back. It doesn't work that way. Put pressure on them. And if the man divorces his wife the third time, she can't go back to him. That's it. Unless she gets married and moved on. And then if something happens in the future, she can't get married to the second marriage and say, okay, just enough for us to make the first marriage. That doesn't work that way. If something happens in the future, she'll return back. So the Sharia put strict, like when you really think about it, okay, this man is going to divorce his wife the first time, second time, and third time, she's divorced. That's it. It's the end. There's no turn, there's no return back. There's no option here. Unless she gets married and she gets through the process of marriage and the marriage is consummated and she moves on in that marriage and then something happens in the future, which means what's the possibility of her coming back? A very little chance, a very small chance for her to come back. So the Sharia put 3 divorces. First, second, you could take her back. But take her back when? Within the period of iddah, waiting time. Let's say the iddah 3 months, the husband divorces his wife the first time. He's got 2.5 or 3 months within the period of iddah for him to take her back. And the Sharia put even more strict guidelines that the husband is not allowed to divorce his wife during her menses, for example, it's haram. And some of the scholars, which is not the majority opinion, some of the scholars are of the view that if a husband divorces his wife during her menses, the divorce is invalid. The divorce is invalid. That's not the majority opinion. They all agree it's haram. But the disagreement is, does it fall or doesn't it fall? Is it valid or not valid? And the majority will say it's valid, and others will say it's not valid. And why did the Sharia forbid that? Because he's going to prolong, if a husband divorces his wife during her menses, it means that he had prolonged the iddah. Rather than her waiting 10.5 months or 3 leading cycles, now she's got to wait a bit longer. That's why how conscious the Sharia is. There's not even oppression. Don't oppress, don't mistreat anyone during that time. So you could imagine what it used to be during the times of the Arabs and what is the Sharia came and transitioned and changed the mindset. Divorce was just take a game, a tool they used to play around with. Sharia came and honored. The female honored the woman and came and honored marriage and restricted playing around with divorce. And the Sharia kept it as an option for people to resort to if need be. Now, there's a number of rules that we can speak about with regards of a divorce. Amongst them is that not to play around with the word talaq. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, there are 3 matters, they're joking and mucking around the serious. Don't muck around when it comes to divorce. Don't muck around. A husband can't go and turn around to his wife and say, you know what, I want to try it on my tongue. I've heard it. Today the sheikh was talking about it. I just want to see how it comes out. I want to see your reaction. Yalla, you're divorced. She's divorced. But I didn't mean it. She's still divorced. Don't muck around with those words. Look how strict the Sharia is when it came to divorce. Don't play around with it. And it goes back to the commitment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention. Serious commitment. Marriage is a serious commitment. It's not like a game or a toy or a match for you to go and play around with. No. It's a serious commitment, especially coming from the husband to his wife. To have this serious commitment. And that's why you can't muck around with the word divorce. No mucking around. And sometimes, you know, you've got some men, they think, you know, oh, I could say, but I don't mean it. You said it. You meant it or not, it falls. Clear cut. If a husband tells his wife, you are divorced, wallah, inshallah, had a big smile on his, inshallah, during the honeymoon. And they were over the moon, on the balcony, mashallah, so happy. And he just turned around and said, no, you are divorced. She's divorced. No mucking around here. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, divorce is a word you don't muck around with. Take it serious. Treat your wife seriously. And treat this marriage seriously. And the other one is, metaphorically, arid. Okay, so you've got divorce, which is the common word that people use, or the common word that husband and wife, or husbands use to divorce their wife. Then you've got metaphor words. Like, for example, I don't want you anymore. Go back to your parents. Leave me alone. That one, leave me alone. It can mean leave me alone for now, or just give me some time, or can also mean leave me alone forever. That goes back to intention. If the husband said any word that can imply divorce beside the word divorce, and he meant divorce, then it's divorce. If he did not mean divorce, then it's not divorce. And who's going to decide if it's divorce or not? It's the husband. She can't turn around, but he meant to be divorced. At the end of the day, he's the one that said it. He's the one that needs to clarify if it's divorce or not. So if the husband says to his wife, leave me alone, and he meant divorce, it's divorce. If he said to her, leave me alone, and he meant just, you know, leave me alone and give me a break, then it's not divorce. So there's two types of divorces that the scholars talk about. One which is literal, and that only applies when the husband tells his wife, talaq, or khula', or what the scholars might refer to as fasakh, or any of those words, in particular the word divorce or talaq. If the husband says that or utters with that, whether he means it or not, it falls. Unless he's in a different state of mind. Like, for example, I know one of the common questions that we get is the divorce of an angry person. Angry, so angry. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said someone divorced his wife during anger, but he didn't say the word anger. He said ighlaq, which means he reached to that level of anger. He doesn't see anymore. He can't see anymore. Which is rarely to happen. 99% of times when husbands divorce, they're angry, but angry, controlled anger. He knows what he's talking about, and he knows exactly what he said. We're talking about someone that reached to that level of anger that this person doesn't know what he's talking about, which is a very rare case to happen. That's when the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said doesn't apply. So the word divorce applies, and it's not a word that you muck around with. If you say it, it falls, happens, that's it, finished. The other words which are metaphors, they can mean divorce or not. It goes back to the intention of the husband. And there's other topics that I wanted to also address, but subhanAllah, I've got another lecture at 2:30 and we need to wrap it up here, inshallah. I'm sure we'll cover up more of these topics on divorce, inshallah, in the next few weeks. JazakumAllah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nashadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Okay, sisters. You have 2 minutes.